Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Snyder County Coalition for Kids podcast speaker series. Really excited today to have a focus on CMSU and all the services that they provide there. Our guests today are Jennifer Jones, Allison Wilson, Adam DiPatista, and Sean Reed. And I want to kick off really with a really basic question for you, Jennifer, if you take this one, which is, what is CMSU?
Sure. So CMSU stands for Columbia, Montour, Snyder, and Union, and we cover the four counties and provide services for mental health, drug and alcohol, and intellectual disabilities and developmental supports. So we work with kids in all different realms in our four counties in those areas. And we also provide crisis as well.
Tell me more about that in terms of what service you provide, how do people access that?
So with CMSU, we provide anything from just people calling in, just asking for guidance on what services in our area. So it could just be a phone call guidance. We provide case management services, which is somebody who can meet with a person with behavioral health needs once a month. We provide crisis intervention services 24/7 days a week. And that number I will put in the chat then, Mike, at the end of the series. And we also provide, we have an ORS, which is outpatient recovery services, which provides psychiatry for our adult clients. And also we have therapy. We are a trauma-informed care center here. So our therapists are trained in different levels of trauma models to be able to provide therapy for people who are seeking trauma therapy. We work with individuals who have medical assistance or who are not insured or underinsured, meaning their insurance does not have mental health coverage and they just need help getting linked to services, they could call us. Through the drug and alcohol side, we have kind of case management there and also assessments that could be done. And Allison at some point could talk a little bit more about that. And then Sean represents our intellectual disability side. And we provide services for early intervention from age, I believe, about 18 months to about 4 years of age. And then we also have developmental side for kids with autism and intellectual disabilities, all the way up to adult services. And they provide support coordinations, and Sean will be going into that at some point as well. We provide family-based services, which is a team of two that goes out to the home to provide in-home supports on a family level. And we also have Adam's model, which he'll talk about a little later, our Connect to Empower model, which is a first episode psychosis model. They are kind of our main services just internally. We do also have an array of adult services through CMSU. We have a drop-in center and a crisis residential as well.
Well, let me turn it over to Allison, because you referenced there the drug and alcohol services, that assessment and treatment services that CMSU provides. And in my day job, that's probably the area I interact most with CMSU. Allison, can you talk about that? What types of services, how did people access them, that sort of thing? And I know that your job there really focuses a lot on prevention too. So maybe you could talk about that.
Sure. So with the drug and alcohol component, there's the drug and alcohol treatment side, and there is our drug and alcohol and prevention services. So I am the prevention supervisor, so I'm a little bit more well-versed with regard to the prevention services that we provide. But as far as the treatment side, we provide assessment and referral to treatment services for anyone calling in looking to access drug and alcohol services. We contract out with local drug and alcohol providers, and anyone can call in and speak to a case manager if they have general questions about resources in the area or how to access services. Case managers complete what's called a level of care assessment for those seeking treatment, and then they help that individual navigate the system and get them linked up with the appropriate level of care of treatment that they meet the requirements for. And depending on eligibility, we also are able to fund for those people who do not have drug and alcohol or behavioral health benefits that would cover drug and alcohol treatment. So On the treatment side, we are able to fund those types of services. The treatment, trying to navigate that system sometimes can be very difficult, especially for family members or people reaching out when they're in crisis and really are looking for those types of services. So the case managers here are very helpful with that. They know the system well. They're very well connected with our providers in our area and are very efficient in getting people linked up. On the prevention side, we have 10 prevention specialists that work full-time across our 4-county area, and they are embedded within 10 of our 13 area school districts in our 4-county area. So they work very heavily, primarily in the schools with students and families. And they all do very similar things. However, they do different things. So their job is to get in their school and identify the needs in the school and work with that school district to kind of help meet the needs of the students and the families within that particular school district. But the services they provide can be anywhere from meeting with students individually to provide support. Our staff provide student support groups to students. They are resources to families. They do community outreach and can help families link up with outside resources within the community if needed. Our staff also do evidence-based programming, social emotional learning curriculum in the classrooms with students as well. And we also do some outreach and community work with our local coalitions as well, all in the effort to kind of educate, you know, youth, families, the community about drug and alcohol prevention, substance abuse and treatment and those types of things.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot. one thing that always struck me is when we talk about especially drug and alcohol services, that they're referred to it's called this single county authority that's responsible. And I always thought it was somewhat ironic that the single county authority is actually 4 different counties. If someone who's watching this is living in, say, like Combing County or Northumberland County, not within Columbia, Montour, Snyder Union, the CMSU catch basin, if they don't know where to reach out and they call you guys, are you able to point them in the right direction?
Absolutely. That's something we always, if you have any question at all, you are more than welcome to reach out and contact us. We are the single county authority. However, we are a joiner, so we cover 4 counties, but every county has an SEA that does this similar work that we do as far as accessing treatment. So that's who you would look to contact within the county you live. But if you're not sure who to contact, by all means, call in and we can help connect you. We actually had somebody just call in from a neighboring county today, and we're able to connect the dots for them.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Adam, I want to go to you next. And if you could talk about, I know that behavioral health is an area that you work in, and specifically a program called Connect to Empower. Could you talk about the services? Well, first of all, could you just describe, what does behavioral health mean?
Behavioral health, well, I mean, we focus on outpatient treatment, and our goals are to help individuals, you know, just like your physical health. You want to go for checkups and make sure that your heart is fine and your blood pressure is good. So we have an outpatient clinic here staffed by a physician, nurse practitioner, physician assistants, who provide outpatient psychiatric services, medication management for those in the community who are the medical assistance population, uninsured or underinsured, and also provide outpatient therapy, which is the typical talk therapy that you know comes to mind. Case management services, which is more of a linking folks to the right places in the community where they can get the help they need, and overall just improving their well-being and keeping folks out of the hospital, because it's evidence-based that people's best recovery is when they're in the community.
That part about case management sounds really important, because in just talking, folks rarely know exactly where to go to get what they need. They don't even necessarily know the vocabulary when they're in crisis, especially when they're in crisis or they have a loved one that may be on the verge of crisis. Can you talk about what that case management looks like and how you access it?
Sure. Case management can be accessed by first calling here if folks are residents of our four counties, and they can be go through our triage department if they have private insurance or no insurance, or be a direct referral to case management if they have medical assistance. Either way, we'll get you linked up to a case manager, and that person is somebody who will meet with folks in the community and provide them and assess them for their needs, and then get them connected to what the right level of services are in the community.
Sometimes we hear from folks, I didn't reach out for services because I don't think I can afford it. It sounds like that's part of the case management, is to figure out funding and figure out how to connect with that. Is that right?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, they can figure out the funding. Case management is not just linking to behavioral health providers either, if need be. It's also using things like Rabbit Transit, getting folks connected with that if they're having difficulty with that. Programs and subsidiaries that can help them with housing in the community, food banks, things of that nature. It's not just necessarily linking with a mental health provider, but all kinds of the other services in the community that can improve overall mental health and reduce some of the stress and anxiety that some of those social determinants create.
Sean, I want to go to you next. I know that you work with a very specialized population, folks with intellectual disabilities, and CMSU provides developmental supports for them. Maybe first mm-hmm. you can talk about what is an intellectual disability and what does a developmental support look like and how do people access them?
So a person with intellectual disabilities is somebody who has a IQ of under 70, and that meets the criteria of having delays in certain areas of their functioning. And what happens is the individual can contact Carol Zosh, who is our intake worker at the ID office, and she sets up an intake and then collects information from various sources, typically psychological evaluations, to determine eligibility. Once that process is completed, then the individual will be referred over to what we call the SCO, which is the Supports Coordination Organization. And a supports coordinator is linked up with that individual to access whatever services they need. A lot of times under the age of 21, individuals are receiving, whether it's nursing, if they have a healthcare need, or an overlap with the behavioral health services in our four catchment area.
Jeffrey, I want to go back to you and ask, when we were doing our planning meeting for this presentation, you spoke about the value of collaboration, and having heard the vast scope of the different services and needs that you guys provide for there, what role does collaboration play when you guys are assisting folks?
Sure. I feel like that's a huge part of CMSU because we do have so many components. We collaborate all the time on a regular basis. We are constantly talking to each other's components, reaching out to crisis, drug and alcohol. One of the things that we're very fortunate of having here at CMSU is we all are under the same umbrella. Some counties do not have that availability. They branch out and refer out to other programs. So to have drug and alcohol, developmental supports, crisis, everything under the same county umbrella is huge. And it makes very easy with that collaboration. I like to say we like to look in the gray a lot. That's one of the big things. It's not black or white. Things aren't black and white. there's all different shades of gray. And so we try to look in that and how we could best meet individuals we work with's needs. Even if it's not right there in front of us, tapping into our other partner systems and see how could we help build that gap and make that gap disappear the best we can.
Allison, I wanted to ask you along the lines of collaboration, since the Coalition for Kids and folks watching this either work with kids, have kids, care about kids, hopefully at least one of those three. What collaboration goes on between CMSU and our local school districts?
Well, we have, like I said, we work our full-time prevention specialists. That is a huge partnership with the school districts that they serve, that they allow us to have them embedded within in their school. And it is a partnership to have those positions in the school districts. Like I said, their goal is to identify needs in that school, and help, you know, provide services within that school to meet those needs. Because every school is kind of like their own little entity. Every school is very different. Like there's similar challenges, but there are things in each individual school that are different as well. So we have a collaboration with the school districts as far as that goes, and reach out to them. And if there's specific things that they need, they can call in, they can reach out to our staff and if we can help in any way to help meet those needs, we're happy to do that.
And Mike, if you're okay, I'm just gonna piggyback real quick. We do also have the CAS coordination services here at CMSU, which I'm the CAS coordinator. So that's-
So what is that? Sure. We're throwing a lot of acronyms at people. What? Sure. It's CASP, right?
It's CASSP.
SSP. And that,
yep. It stands for Children and Adolescent Service System Programs. And anyone at the school district or anyone out, actually families, providers can make referrals for this. They would just contact CMSU and ask to speak to myself, Jen Jones, and we would pull together a meeting with all the supports. It could be providers, it could be community supports, family members, schools, but we do work closely with the school on CAS meetings. We do partner a lot where they put referrals in, or I just have schools reaching out to me just on a one-on-one basis, just trying to problem solve on cases if it's not a big CAS meeting that's needed. And I will put that information also in the chat then at the end. It will also tell you about CAS so people are aware, but also if somebody is listening not from the CMSU area, they will be able to click on the link and it will give you a list of all the CAS coordinators across Pennsylvania, because every county has some kind of a representative. So I always suggest tapping into your CAS coordinators if you're just not sure where to go for children's mental health services, and they'll help put you in the right direction.
Anecdotally, I think a lot of people have heard how much the pandemic has affected schools and particularly youth mental health. What have you seen there at CMSU when it comes to that?
I could tell you definitely a big increase over the last 2 years of needs, of mental health needs, not just with kids, but also adults. Longer wait lists, which we are aware of for services. And that is where the collaboration comes in again, and that gray thinking I mentioned about, because sometimes we don't want somebody and a family to feel hopeless in a way where if they find out there's all these wait lists, we want to try to support them as best as we can. And that's where a lot of that gray thinking comes. How can we give them some kind of a support? We've been trying to work with some of the schools because we know schools have been really hit hard with the COVID too, especially with the kids struggling with transitioning back into school. With our systems of care grant money we got from SAMHSA through the BHARP collaborative. And
what's SAMHSA?
Listen, I don't want to mess this up. You're going to help me with that. So SAMHSA is, Allison, help me out. You there?
I'm sorry. I was unmuting.
Substance abuse, mental health.
I believe
Services Act.
Administration. Yeah.
Administration.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I know. Yeah. I knew I was going to mess it up also. That's why I pulled you
in. There's so many.
Sometimes I think acronyms in themselves are a barrier to access just because people are learning a whole new vocabulary. When you guys work and live in that world, it's just second nature. So that's why I'm challenging all of us to break down, to help identify rather than take those shortcuts. So haven't identified SAMHSA then. So there's SAMHSA funds, and go ahead. And,
yep, through SAMHSA, and we partnered with the BHARP, which is the Behavioral Health Alliance of Rural Pennsylvania. There's 24 counties in it, but there's 14 counties that have been tied into this systems of care grant that we have. But we've done a lot of trauma trainings out there with the schools and community, but we want to support the schools by providing them with something to help with the kids transitioning. And we've been working with setting up calming rooms in the school districts. So calming rooms are kind of a safe place for kids to go to, and it's open to all kids, not just kids with maybe a special education plan or an individual education plan. It's open to anyone. So if a kid maybe is struggling that morning, they could talk to their teacher to see if they could go into this calming room to help maybe calm down a little bit and then transition back. We've been seeing it's taking about kids 5-10 minutes to pull together and just return back to the academics field. But every school district by next year is going to have at least one calming room, and some are going to have 2, 3, 4 different calming rooms in their buildings.
Adam, when I asked Jen that question about the pandemic and its effects on youth mental health, I saw you nodding your head. What have you seen?
Certainly seeing the same thing and the toll it's taking. Our program's a bit unique with the flexibility that we have. Just a little bit of background about Connect to Empower. It's an early psychosis intervention program for youth and young adults ages 14 to 30. We receive our funding from a grant. So even though we are funded through CMSU, we have the ability to accept individuals with any insurance or no insurance and provide our full array of services. We have a little bit more flexibility of meeting with folks. So all of our services, with the exception of outpatient psychiatry and outpatient therapy, take place in the community. We offer supported employment services, psychiatric rehabilitation, which is a really fancy name, but what it boils down to is like occupational therapy, case management, and peer support, where an individual provider with lived experience with mental health is at a point in their recovery where they're able to work with clients in the community and provide the kind of like, I've walked a mile in your shoes services to them. It's funny, you ironic, I guess, that you mentioned that. We just started some groups, and most notably on Wednesday evening with some of our folks, and we hadn't been able to do that in quite some time. It was incredibly well received. Of course, scaled down with the current social distancing guidelines and mask requirements, but just being able to have folks together in the community, and that bond has really resonated with them. So I think that's something we're going to increase. And we alternate locations between our drop-in center between Bloomsburg and Middleburg to make it accessible for everyone that we serve in the four county area in our very, very small program with 18 participants.
Start somewhere. Mm-hmm. Allison, piggybacking on some of those consequences, the pandemic and the necessary hygienic prevention protocols have been in place. I know that AA and NA meetings are a backbone of the recovery community. What have you seen about their ability to adapt during the pandemic? Are they still trying to meet virtually? Are they some back in person? What are you hearing about that?
Well, at the height of the pandemic, I think those meetings continued and they were able to be accessed virtually. As far as prevention, it was very, very challenging, I think, for many, many people who do prevention, because typically that's, a face-to-face type of service. So when at the height of COVID, that was very tough when everyone was virtual. So everyone had to kind of regroup. As things, I think, are opening up, I think there is a combination now. I think there are in-person, I think there's virtual options out there. My staff, we are fortunate with our agency because we had full-time staff and they are part of the schools. If school is in, our staff was able to be in the schools and working with kids and youth, where sometimes other counties who don't have a similar model that we do, I think that was a little bit of a struggle for them as far as being able to provide preventative services. But at this point, I think things are kind of a combination as we're coming out of COVID.
Right. Sean, I want to jump back to you for a minute in talking about supports for people with intellectual disabilities. I know early diagnosis is really critical. Could you talk about the early intervention services that CMSU has?
Sure. So I talked to the early intervention director, Danielle Mendez, and she offered me a little synopsis of what their program is all about. And what she had said was any children from the age of 18 months to 4 years old could be referred to early intervention. The phone number is 570-275-6080. She mentions that after a referral is made, typically a service coordinator will come out to the family's home for two visits. The first visit, they complete a screening if the family is, you know, in agreement with that. Once again, all these services are voluntary. And this would give them the child's information on their development. The service coordinator would then have the family sign releases that will allow them to collect more information about the child. They look at the child's health history, daily routines, and they have a general discussion on early intervention programs. I had mentioned services are voluntary. And here's a nice little kicker, regardless of the family's income, and even if the family does not have medical assistance, they can access the services. They're free. So if a family does have medical assistance, obviously they can bill for that, but it's not necessary for the service. Family can leave the program at any time, and there's no penalty for doing so.
That's great. Again, to have financial means be a barrier to these services would be a shame. So it's great to hear that. Going back to Jen for a minute, just in terms of a lot of what we talk about with collaborations is breaking down silos. How do you guys do that through CMSU?
Team meetings, just not, you know, being afraid to pick up the phone and reach out to our partner agencies. Just starting to look at, not everything fits in that one little box. You know, not everything is just mental health. There might be individuals who are struggling with mental health, trauma, drugs and alcohol. There might be family members with developmental support issues, children and youth issues. So to not just keep putting everyone and fit them in the one category, it's not that easy. And again, it comes in with those shades of gray again, Mike, that I like to say, that's where it works on our end. We will pick up the phone and reach out to our community partners to try to collaborate again. And that's the biggest thing that we try to do here, is to collaborate, reach out and build those connections and to try to best serve our individuals that we can.
Well, as we start to wrap up here, I'll throw the same question to each of you and then go around the horn, which is, what's one thing about CMSU that you think maybe people in the community don't know about and you'd like them to know about? And I'll work backwards. Sean, I'll start with you.
Well, that's a good question. We're here to help individuals. You know, I've been doing this about 17 years, and it's a great thing that individuals can come to us for supports, and that we can support that individual wherever they are in their life's course. You know, we provide person-centered planning, you know, and to speak, you know, right about transition and children, you know, we have four SCs that just totally focus on those areas. Me being overseeing those four SCs that work with kids from 4 years old all the way up to they transition out of high school. So give us a call.
Adam.
I think a lot of times some of the interaction that folks have with CMSU, a lot of times it might be people who are in crisis, or sometimes there's those interactions in the hospital where there's, you know, involuntary commitments being made. And you know, like I know sometimes I'll say, you know, people ask where I work and I say CMSU and I get this heavy sigh. But I don't think maybe many people with you know, have had interactions on that end of things understand a lot of the proactive things that we do in an effort to help people remain in the community and in their absolute best mental health state, just like we talked about with physical health earlier. So I think it's just getting it out there about a lot of the good and proactive things that we do for folks in the community, rather than just some of the things that they see, you know, services that we have to provide to keep people safe, but aren't necessarily, you know, people aren't necessarily in the best frame of mind when we're providing those services.
Right. Right. Allison, same question to you.
With regard to drug and alcohol, I would say to everybody, if you have a question, whether, you know, a very simple question or you're not sure, just call CMSU, just call and ask to speak to somebody in drug and alcohol. And I guarantee you, someone will be able to help you with the answer, clarify the answer, or get you to the people that you need to contact. It's a very easy, quick, you know, just call. We're happy to help. And I don't think there's many people that do know. I mean, we have a 24/7, we have a crisis hotline. Backed behind that hotline, we have a 24-hour crisis, somebody that's available from drug and alcohol that is backed behind that. So if there is an emergency after hours with regard, if somebody is looking for treatment, they want to get in as soon as possible in the middle of the night, you know, they're ready to go, call our tap line number and you can ask to speak to a drug and alcohol case manager. There's always one backed behind that crisis person that you can access somebody to in the off hours as well.
And I'll note at this point that CMSU is partnering with my office, the DA's office, and law enforcement in Snyder County for the Law Enforcement Treatment Initiative, which connects folks and hopefully creates an opportunity to divert them from the criminal justice system into treatment. There's a lot of cases where the root cause is substance use, and if we can divert them from getting the help that they need and getting accountability for that through treatment and services rather than the criminal justice system, then that's one of our goals. And we'll be training our law enforcement officers in Snyder County to partner with CMSU to access those services. So I thought I'd throw a little plug in, and also a big thanks to CMSU for being our partner in that. It's really a critical new program for us, and I'm really excited to see it get off the ground. We just announced it last month. Jen, I'm going to give you the last word, ask you the same question and anything else you want to add.
Sure. I feel like everyone has hit on that. One of the things I do want people to know is, again, just pick up the phone, give us a call. If you have a child, maybe who's in the hospital, and we all know that sometimes hospitals aren't familiar what services are in their area, please feel free to reach out to me as Jen Jones, and I could help at least talk to families and even the hospital about what services there might be in our area. And the same for adults. We do have a hospital liaison person named April Thomas that not many people are aware of. So if you have a loved one that's over the age of 18 in the hospital and you're just not sure what supports there are out there, feel free to give her a call as well. And I am also, Mike, I'm going to put in the chat a bunch of websites that might be helpful for individuals. I apologize, they all kind of went together. I was trying to separate them the best I could. But there is just CMSU is there that you feel free to click on it and it will show you all the services we have. There's other things we didn't get a chance to go over that's geared more for our adults that you could check out. There is PA Parent and Alliance, which is the Pennsylvania Parent Families and Alliance. They constantly have free events for families out there They have an online support group for families who have children with mental health, and they just are a wealth of knowledge. And they have an archive of webinars that they have done in tip sheets. There is the CCBH website, which is the Community Cares Behavioral Health coverage for medical assistance in our area. I always encourage families and providers to use that search engine to find out what services are in their area. And of course, we have the BHARP Systems of Care information. I also provided the Youth Move of Pennsylvania's website. They do a lot of webinars. Some of them are free, but they also provide a free teen group that's online, just a support group for anyone in our BHARP counties. And I did put in there about the CAHPS coordinators and how to contact your local county CAHPS coordinator, and just the NAMI's website for local support groups in our area. So if a family is interested in finding out information on that, they could click on the NAMI, which is the National Alliance of Mental Health Illness website, to find out the closest support group in our area. And then just to follow up with our CMSU tap line number for Columbia, Montour, Snyder Union for 24/7 crisis. And then also for somebody who is not comfortable to talking to someone on the line, the National Crisis Text Line number as well.
Could you give that tap line just for folks who are listening and can't access the chat?
Sure. The CMSU tap line number is 1-800-222-9016. And that could be available 24/7, 24 hours, 7 days a week.
And again, the phone number for early intervention screening for intellectual disabilities is 570-275-6080. Sean, did I get that right?
That is correct. And the same number applies for intakes for ID services as well.
Awesome. So again, folks, if you have a need, all you have to do is call. They're going to use that gray thinking and point you in the right direction and get you connected. A lot of times there's not just one service, one issue going on. There might be a whole constellation of things going on. These guys are designed, their system's designed to make sure that all the different stars in that constellation are aligning. So I want to take the opportunity to thank you all for being here with us today. That's so answering that basic question about what is CMSU and what do they do? Again, I'm Mike Pietzu on behalf of the Snyder County Coalition for Kids. We're a 501c3 organization designed to promote health, well-being of kids in Snyder County and beyond. You can check us out on Facebook or this YouTube channel for other podcasts. We use Podbean as our platform there. So again, thanks everybody for being here. Tune in next time. We'll see ya.
See ya. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, everyone.